News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now, 3:23 p.m. It's February the 25th, and we are rocking through our day. I'm gonna go ahead and move right now to my next conversation, because it's been a series of conversations today. But I got a friend in the room with me right now. Ray Melick is the chief editor. Am I saying that right, Ray? Are you the chief editor?
Editor-in-chief. Really care.
Grand poobah?
Yeah.
Okay, you're the guy.
As long as the check clears, they can call me whatever they want.
So. Y'all hear me talk about 1819 News all the time, and I do use their resources quite a bit on my show. But 1819news.com is where you can find them. And they also sprang out of the Alabama Policy Institute where I came from, which is very cool. So we're sort of like brethren organizations here with Right Side and 1819 and Alabama Center for Law and Liberty and API. All said and done, though, 1819 is really kicking it and putting out great content. And Ray, you're the boss over there.
Well, you know, it's really flattering to have had a chance to put together a really good team of reporters, and we've hired some really good people down here today at this APA convention, talking to some young people that are finishing up in journalism school and trying to maybe snatch one or two. I'm you know, we're trying to expand our reach. So
any opportunity to recruit, is that right?
That's right. It's really surprising how hard it is to find really good journalists, reporters that want to do what we do.
Yeah.
And so it's always a chance to look and talk, and that was a good to. I think they got excited. But you know, you come out of college, you got dreams of established media somewhere, and I tell them, ground floor though, there's nowhere to go but up. We're it right now.
Well, and you are it, and y'all even have a presence in the State House now, which for a while there really waned.
Yeah.
I mean, we hardly had anybody in the press room at the State House for a long time.
And we've got two reporters down there. Whenever they're in session, we've got two reporters, and I feel real good about
is that Craig
Brandon?
Brandon
Mosley and then Craig Monger.
Yeah.
And, of course, Brandon's been doing it for years. He knows everybody. They know him. Craig is first reporting job, but I think he's really – getting the hang of it. He's not afraid to ask him questions, and he quickly learned his way around, and I think that they're both really doing a good job.
Well, they are, and I read their stuff, and I'm glad to feel like there's someone typing from a presence in the State House as opposed to typing about the State House.
Yeah, I'm not going to knock other sites, but it's funny that one of them that's really popular, their main person actually lives in Atlanta. It doesn't come over here, but writes from Atlanta covering Montgomery. And as an old reporter myself, I'm real uncomfortable with, you know, you could be in Seattle writing about Miami. It just doesn't have the right feel for it. So I'm big on having our people there. And part of that is just answerable. You know, if I'm going to criticize you, Phil, you at least know me and we see each other and you go, okay, I may not like what you wrote.
That's
But we were there.
That's
so I want them to know we're there in the hall. And if we write something, at least we've got a legitimate basis for what we're saying.
Yeah, relationships mean something. Accountability means something. And the ability to shake someone's hand means something.
It's huge. And I just think through that, people know you. And you know that after a conversation, then you can talk by phone. But sometimes you need to establish that personal relationship to get a sense of what the other person's like and whether you trust them or not or whatever that may be.
And I'll tell you, I had a personal experience, Ray. I had a very controversial bill in the legislature at one point, and I got a call one day, and it was a young reporter. I had seen his work during the Hubbard trial, the Mike Hubbard trial. I had seen his, and I thought, this kid is going to go places in the world of journalism because his reporting was great, and he was just doing something like for the, I want to say the Auburn Student newspaper, but he was working for an organization at the time that I have still zero respect for, and an organization whose news I won't even use on this show. But all that to say, when he called, I took the call, and he said, Senator Williams, I want to talk to you about this bill, and I said, well, let me stop first and say this. I'm taking this because of you. I'm not taking this because of who you work for.
Yeah.
And he said, excuse me? And I said, and I won't say his name. I said, I've been reading some of your work. You do quality work. I do not agree with any of the other work that I see coming out of your boss. However, you do good work, and I've met you, so let's talk.
Yeah.
And that means something.
And again, that's old-fashioned reporting. It's relationships. It's talking to people. And it's also, once you've written something about somebody, again, maybe they don't like, you need to go face them. So they can have their say, and then it's over. And hopefully, you know, the people I really love, and of course, I got a huge background in sports, but one of the best was Gene Stallings at Alabama. And Gene and I would have arguments, but as soon as we had them, and Wimp Sanderson was this way, then it was over. And we were back to, okay, let's go talk about what's next and what's tomorrow and get on with it. And that was a great lesson to be able to you know, vent your frustration, then let's go on and work together.
Well, I did my monologue earlier today, and some of the same comments that I had made when I was in the room with you earlier with the Press Association gathering, my monologue today, if I had to give it a title, was don't lose the message. You know, it was the idea that there is more sometimes in a story than you may be getting from a certain source. But one of the things that I think helps with 1819 having a presence in the State House is people can come back to you in the hallway and go, hey, man, that story, I forgot to tell you this.
Yeah.
Whereas other sites are just reporting things off the wire, and they don't really see or know or have the ability to adjust like that.
Or even watching it through Zoom or video or whatever it may
True.
Be, but you can't have those hallway conversations that are huge. And you're right. And then somebody comes up and goes, hey, have you heard this? You know, you need to check into this. And that's always a great source for reporters.
Well, Ray, we're moving to a break right now. But when we get back, I'm going to be switching gears and going to Ukraine. All right. So I do my show in three themes every single day. The next one's called Troops in Contact. And we're going to talk about Ukraine. But you guys put up a very cool kind of a human interest story about Ukraine. It's still up on 1819news.com. So if you don't mind, for a few minutes, we get back from the news, I'd like to talk to you about that.
Love to.
All right. All right, folks, we're Ray Melick, the Grand Poobah at 1819 News. 1819, the name of it, by the way, is because that's the year that Alabama became a state. It's a source that says Alabama all the way through and through. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Going to go to number two in the Triple Dipper now. Troops in Contact is what I called it, which I said yesterday is a phrase that, you know, when you're in the military, it's a phrase you never want to hear, especially when you're a commander and you're sitting in the talk and that comes in over the radio, troops are in contact. That's not what you want to hear, but that's what exactly is happening in Ukraine. And by the way, this is not the minor incursion that President Biden intoned, you know, about a month ago. This is all-out onslaught. This is a full-scale conventional warfare right now. And it's something to watch. And like I said earlier in the show, it's amazing to watch it in real time. But there's a lot of human factor in this. And so I'm sitting in the studio right now. I say studio. I'm actually sitting in the Montgomery Hotel because I broadcast it from the Press Association. But I'm sitting here with my friend Ray Melick from 1819 News. And Ray, you guys did a story. I think Erica wrote it, Erica Thomas.
Yep.
She's your assistant editor, correct?
She's the managing editor.
Managing editor.
She actually oversees the date. She does the work.
Okay.
The day-to-day operation, yeah.
She does the grunt work, right?
Yeah.
Well, nonetheless, she does a good job. But she wrote this piece. The title of it is, and it's still up on the website, 1819news.com, Alabama Watches as the People of Ukraine Face Large-Scale Invasion. And she got connected to a pastor who pastors a church in Kiev, correct?
Yes.
Well, how this story developed? I mean, it's a very cool story. Tell me how this developed.
Yeah, Ronnie Dixon, who's the city manager out of Pinson, and great guy. We've worked with him before. And so Ronnie, I think, through his connections with Erica, had helped found this church. And as you know, a lot of people in Alabama are involved in mission work. I think you've been involved yourself in some of the things in Ukraine. And they connected over internet, messaging back and forth. He actually sent her some pictures. But again, it's so real for him to wake up with this sound of explosions and go outside and see a rocket in his street that the military is trying to defuse, and then open up his church as a shelter. And it just it puts that human face on this invasion. These aren't just geoglobal exercises. This is real people being affected in real ways. And here's a pastor of a church that's taking people in and hoping they can survive and have water and electricity enough to care for people while this is happening.
And the pictures that we've got on your article actually came from that pastor.
Yeah,
right?
They're our own original photos that he sent. Even the video at the end are things that he sent along through Messenger. And that's the one good thing. There are many good things about social media, many bad things, but this is a case of the connections with people who are there to be able to send out photos and talk to them and relate what's going on. And I think it's a pretty powerful piece.
I think it is too. Do you see any follow-up pieces coming on this? Are y'all going to stay in contact with him?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Erica will, and we'll keep in touch. I think people always get interested in what happened, and she'll be talking through them through the weekend, I'm sure. And particularly now as Russian troops are about to, if they've not already, enter the capital city, and that's where he's located.
Yeah. Well, that being said, you know, one of the cool things about 1819 is you guys this is an international story with a local flavor.
Right.
I mean, y'all are 1819 News, which is the celebrating the year Alabama became a state. You focus on Alabama, but you're not afraid to run a story like this. But it also has the Alabama connection of the church in Pensacola.
Well, that's right. We want to stay in our lane, which is the state of Alabama. But yet, so many stories involve people or connections around the globe. And I think we've done a good job of connecting those stories and letting people know. And again, this is just one group with one church, but I'm betting this is repeated hundreds of times throughout the state of people who have done mission trips or educational visits or support of people in the Ukraine and are trying desperately to be in touch and find out how the people that they have worked with are doing and what the situation is really like.
You know, I don't know if our listeners know how many, and I said this on the show yesterday, you'd be amazed how many people live in the United States of Ukrainian heritage. We even have one congresswoman who's of Ukrainian heritage. I've forgotten what, Indiana, I think. But nonetheless, there's a company in Gadsden, where I'm from, where I served in the Senate, called International Jets. And they became a unique kind of a niche market. They would go to former Soviet bloc countries that could not afford to keep their Air Force up. They'd buy fighter jets, bring them back over here and refit them as toys for rich folks. And so I would literally see, you know, a Sukhoi fighter with a red star on the wing flying over my house. It was kind of weird. But there are several Ukrainian mechanics there because they brought them over, and they're the ones who service the planes and get them ready. I mean, there's a lot of folks.
Well, and my daughter had worked, actually interned in Hungary when she was in college and worked at the EU with some of the Eastern European countries before she now married and living back here. But so there's a lot of connections, a lot of great people in Eastern Europe. I thought Mo Brooks had an interesting take, and others, that part of the fault has to lie with European leaders for not developing their own strength. They've got the population, they've got the economy. Why aren't they building up their military to look out for each other instead of relying so heavily on the U.S. and everybody comes to us? Well, what are you going to do about it? And I think the U.S. does a great job, but I do think there's something to be said for the European Union actually taking in people like Ukraine, and I know that's a debate itself, but being willing to stand up to Putin on their own. And the fact that Germany and Italy are so hesitant right now really, you know, gives you pause of what's going on and what the next step's going to be.
Yeah, it really does. Well, hey, back home here, what are you guys working on? I mean, I follow the news every day. I wind up resourcing off of your website quite a bit, 1819news.com. But you got a stable of writers over there.
We've got a good group. Even today, analysis by one of our reporters lives in Bruton about the I-10 bridge and the possibilities of a toll bridge down there. Craig and Brandon, we talked about, and just the fact how well they cover the State House. And, you know, we've got a number of things working. I almost hate to say what it is that we're working on that's coming out next week because, you know, we do have competition out there. We're trying to hold our own. But always we try to make sure we're on top of stories and we're not afraid to take a little more time to investigate. You know, my motto in news is always get it first, but first get it right. And so much of part of the reason why I got out was it began get it first, and then we'll figure out later if it's right, we'll correct it. And that's not what we're going to do. No. We want to get it right so that we don't have to make those corrections and go out there as well. And another story we followed, of course, is the Huntsville school system with the mask mandate. The
right.
fact that Madison County dropped it, the city is not. I've got a reporter in Huntsville that's been following that story as the parents have actually got lawsuits filed against boards of education to try to reduce that mask mandate, and that's an ongoing battle there.
And there may have been a breaking story. I think I saw this morning that Madison City may actually be reducing its mask mandate or making it optional at the very least. So I'm hoping some of that pressure that members of the press and those parents having that lawsuit, which I had one on my show the other day, is finally bringing. Of course, Governor Ivey could do that herself if she really wanted to.
She could. And the state legislation could do more to help educators. If they weren't getting their pockets padded, but well, we won't go there. That's all.
Oh, did you go?
But no, I do think that one of the local things is your Board of Education, is parents. When you get parents motivated about their kids, that's when elections turn into revolutions, peaceful revolutions, but revolutions. We saw it in Virginia. I think we're seeing it around the state of Alabama now with boards of education, parents coming to those meetings and saying, we're not going to put up with this anymore.
No, and Alabama's been leading the way. Mountain Brook has been one key example. All right, before you go, And I don't know if you've been tracking this story or not. Are you tracking what's happened with the Oakwood Academy kids that were playing? Our former sportscaster guy, news guy. So to back up the story, that's my listening area right now.
Yeah.
So Oakwood Academy out of Huntsville, Seventh-day Adventist school. Their Sabbath is from Friday night to Saturday night. And this little 1A group of kids that pays for their own uniforms and everything else, it's like watching some movie like The Hoosiers or whatever.
Yeah.
They're on the way to the Sweet 16 for the state high school playoffs, but the game is scheduled on their Sabbath.
At
4:30. All they wanted was to know if they could play it at 7:30 instead.
And the other two teams had already agreed to swap times with them.
Yeah. So where are you seeing this going? Because I think the High School Athletic Association said something about it today.
They did. They came out and they said that when they allowed Oakwood to join the AHSAA, that part of the agreement was they said they would abide by whatever rules and regulations, even if it interfered with their Sabbath day.
Wow.
And very well may be the case. But sometimes you and I both know common sense. I mean, I could see if this was, hey, let's don't play it on Saturday at all. Let's move it to Sunday, or can we do it Friday? This was simply let's flip-flop the games.
3 hours.
Yeah. And the other teams were fine with it. They were ready to play the early game and get it over with, which I always like the early games too. And at some point, you'd think common sense would come in. The governor, I want to demand why it happened, and then Alvin Briggs with the Alabama High School Athletic Association said, we're a privately funded organization. We don't have to answer to anybody, but we will since it's the governor. And this is what they said. Oakwood had signed an agreement. We've got it. They said they would never they would abide by whatever our times are, even if it interfered with their deal. So I don't know where that is. It's gotten a lot of attention. I think, again, there are rules, and then sometimes you got to have a common sense say, okay, that rule applies 99% of the time. This is the one time. Who does it hurt?
Yeah, but the High School Athletic Association has not been renowned for their common sense.
No.
So,
and that's been going for quite a long time.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I think, closing comments on that story, I think the underlying story, though, that I think is very cool is those boys had an opportunity to sacrifice their principles to play the game they had earned to play in, and they chose not to do so. They said they would forfeit their game.
And Oakwood had never been this far in the tournament before.
Yeah.
I mean, this was groundbreaking. Every win for them was just that school and the community just had to be going nuts. And for the boys on the team to not go, oh, come on, man, let us play. They're going, nope, we understand it. This is our faith. We're standing by it. I think that's a testament to character that you don't see a lot of those stories, enough of those stories anymore. And I think that's a great one for them.
I think we need to find a way at the Policy Institute to recognize that, give them an award in a different category. All right. Well, Ray Melick, 1819 News. You can find it at 1819news.com.
Sign up for our newsletter. It'll be in your inbox every morning by 7:40, I believe, with the day's news. And you can find it at 1819news.com.
And Andrea does a great job of recounting the news every morning. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Hey, Ray, thanks so much for being on today. Appreciate you. All right, folks. That was Ray Melick. Copper, you can go ahead and move us to a break. But we're going to go ahead and come back and jump into number two on the Triple Dipper. Troops in contact, Ukraine, latest developments. We'll talk about it. What's Putin saying? I got some news on that. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.